This podcast is made possible by the generosity of supporting members. Please visit dharmaocean.org to learn more about becoming a supporting member. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. Trungpa Rinpoche taught that there are two orders of logic in the universe, the conventional rationality of ego and the principle of chaos. In this talk, Reggie explains how the job of the Vajrayana teacher is to communicate the principle of chaos. This talk was given at the 2004 Winter Datun.
There is a practice that's used in Chan and Zen Buddhism, which I would like to suggest to you. This is the practice of don't know mind. K-N-O-W, don't know mind. Usually when we see things, we know them. We have a sense of knowing them, knowing what they are. However, there is a dimension of mind which abides within our stillness, where when we look at something, we actually don't know. When we hear something, we don't know. When we smell something, or taste something, or touch something, or even think something, we don't know. That don't know mind is primordial awareness. And the practice is that when we experience something through the sense perceptions, or when we have feelings arise, or when we even have thoughts, that instead of going toward them and knowing them, we go backward into the basic awareness and we abide in a state of don't know mind. There's a process of letting go involved in the practice. We have to actually let go. We let go of what we see, taste, touch, smell, and so on. We let go of what we think. We let go of what we smell, what we sense with our intuition, what we sense with our body. We let go. And in the moment of letting go, there's don't know mind. And the practice is to abide there. It doesn't mean there's no experience. And that's a really important point. It's not as if we're blocking out the world at all. There is experience, but it is the experience of not knowing. And not exiting from that space of not knowing, but abiding there, remaining there. So as our practice deepens over the next few days, and we continue to work with the silence and the stillness, you might just contemplate, don't know mind. Don't know mind. It is a mind, but it's a don't know mind. Trungpa Rinpoche used to always say that there are two orders of logic in the universe. One order of logic is the logic of the conventional world, which is the logic of ego, of reasonability, rationality, coherence. And it's very convincing, actually. And if you meet people that live within that realm of logic, they're very, very convincing, and it's pretty much of an airtight deal. There's no room for anything else. And then there's chaos. And as those of you who have read his works know, he said often, chaos is good news. Chaos is good news. Chaos is whatever doesn't go along with our little rational, sensible, convincing argument. And it doesn't mean that chaos is good news in one sector of my life and bad news in another. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm an expert in this area, and I know what's going on. And I can accommodate chaos over here, and that's fine. That's helpful on the path. But at that point, chaos is kind of a lifestyle choice. You know, it's my little adornment, which means I'm a legitimate Buddhist because I have this little area of chaos. But then over here, there are these other things where, you know, my logic and my conventional mind is in charge. It doesn't work that way. Chaos is the fundamental principle of reality when seen from the viewpoint of ego. Chaos is the perpetual disintegration of our attempt to keep it together. Now, if you're living strictly within a samsaric framework or a conventional framework, which are the same thing, by the way, then chaos is bad news. And we spend and must spend all of our energy trying to keep chaos at bay by keeping on convincing everybody else, and basically we're just trying to convince ourselves that we have something to say, we have something to offer, our way of looking at it is actually legitimate. However, then there's this other order of logic in the universe, which is the logic of the lineage. The logic of the lineage is a completely different thing. And unfortunately, it can only be accessed once we crack. We're all like a hard nut, and we live in this little imprisoned reality of our own making. And the smarter we are, the more convinced we are that that shell is our survival. And unfortunately, that nut has to be cracked open. And once it is cracked open, then we have access to this other logic, the logic of the lineage, which is completely outside of our framework. But we can tune into it and we can align ourselves with it through constantly welcoming the process of destabilizing and things falling apart and opening and surrendering. Surrendering to what? Surrendering to the chaos. Surrendering to the pressure of chaos. The ego is like a dike that has been set up against the ocean. And it's sort of like we have this dike. And the ocean is out there. And the thing about the Dharma ocean is that it keeps growing. It gets higher and higher. And at a certain point, there's this little hole in the dike and the water starts coming in. And we can either spend our whole life basically trying to patch up all those holes where the water is coming in, or we can actually realize that that water is the water that we've been looking for our whole life, and we can let that water come in and we can let it start to dissolve the walls that we have set up. Trungpa Rinpoche used to say, if you're willing to really let things go on a fundamental level, let yourself be cracked open by the lineage, then you realize there's a big world out there. And there's a lot of help, There's a lot of love, and there's a big picture going on in this universe, and it's all happening for the benefit of suffering beings. And we actually can begin not only to become aware of it and to feel the tremendous love that is waiting for us and wants us, but we can actually help them by becoming kind of part of their picture. That's the job of the meditators and the job of the staff and the job of the teachers here, is to be aligning ourselves with them. And so we have to sit and sit and sit and sit until we start cracking, and the, you know, it's like those cartoon things where the guy gets hit on the head, and then there's a little delay, and then all of a sudden the whole thing starts cracking and everything starts falling down. That's kind of what we're doing here. We're putting ourselves in that kind of situation. This connects up with what I was saying yesterday about the teacher. We initially, when we meet a teacher, we want that teacher to pat us on the head and say we're a good little boy and a good little girl, and we're doing a good job. We want approval, and we think that the teacher is the one that's going to give it to us. The teacher's job is not to confirm your existence. It's to confirm your non-existence. If you come in and you say how great you are, do you know how boring that is for a Dharma teacher? Look at me, look how fabulous I am. I'm going to convince you, you know, my logic. And when I used to do that with Trungpa Rinpoche, he would start looking at his watch. Like, when is this interview going to be over? When is this person going to get out of my space? Or he would just kind of look out the window, and he literally, it wasn't as if he wasn't listening, he actually wasn't listening. A Dharma teacher is not interested in our existence and in our logic and in our pitiful attempts to convince the world that we're important and we're bright and we're real. That is, it's just of no interest. But if you come in and you're devastated, you will have that person's full and total attention. And if you are devoted to the process that is going on within you, you will find that that teacher is devoted to you forever. But the Dharma teacher is not going to ever confirm your existence. He or she will only confirm your non-existence. And when you come in and you say, I'm empty, there's nothing here, or you express that, or you show that, that teacher is going to say, yes, that's it, you got it. And then the two of you can go on from there. So there is a much bigger picture. And in our conventional modern world, reality has been reduced to the size of a postage stamp. And the reason we practice Dharma is to begin to tune into the universe that truly exists outside of that little postage stamp of reality. And it's endless. But in order to tune into it, unfortunately, we have to be cracked open to our very core. And that's what we're doing here. And that's what the space is doing to us. Hopefully. And hopefully we can allow ourselves to be cracked and give it up. Let it go. Drop it. Just drop it. Drop what? All this, you know, ego bullshit that we crank out morning, noon, and night. It's like a huge perpetual sausage machine. And all, you know, the good red meat of reality goes in the top, and the sausage comes out. And that sausage is huge. So our job is just to let it go, give it up, drop it. And there's no technique, by the way, to dropping the whole perpetual, constantly feeding everything into this mental process that we're constantly doing. There's no technique. It's not like, teach me the technique so I can do it. So I can do it in a way that's kind of, I can still stay in control. We have to actually just drop it on the spot, let it go, it's over. So now we will move into our body work. And I want to remind you once again of what I said yesterday, that the lineage speaks to us in and through our bodies, and that we are doing this body work to find our way into being able to listen to what they're saying to us. So once again today, as we did yesterday, was a, from my humble viewpoint, a fabulous day of sitting, and your exertion was wonderful. And, you know, when we sit, yesterday you were very still, and again, we're not talking about rigidity here, we're talking about resting within oneself and being in the body and exploring the body, this vast world within. You know, when we're still, the reason we can be still is because there's so much openness and movement within. There's so much space, there's so much energy. So the more we inhabit the body, the more stillness becomes the only possible response. There's a story told about Trungpa Rinpoche when he was in some healing in Scotland. He had to, in those days, they had these wristwatches that if you moved a little bit, they would wind themselves. But the thing is, you had to move, like every few hours you had to move your arm. And he would go and sit, and he would sit for long, 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 many, many, many hours, and his watch always just ran down because the man never moved. He just didn't move. And it wasn't because he was rigid, actually. It was because he was so relaxed and so present and so open within that external movement would have been a complete distraction and like completely beside the point. So let us work in that way with ourselves in a very gentle, open way within. And here's my suggestion today. If you feel, you know, you have some kind of insane itch on your eyebrow, you know the kind I'm talking about? I mean, there's some kind of itches that are workable, but then there are other kinds like, I'm going to go insane. What I'd like to invite you to do is, if it's an itch or if it's I'm going to have a drink of water, or even if it's, you know, my leg has gone to sleep, I need to move it. Once you determine that you're going to move, take a minute, actually, or two, and explore the situation. That will open up a huge amount of space, actually, additional space within. So we'll just continue. Let's continue working in this way.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.